Love can be intoxicating and overwhelming. When we find humans or careers or churches where we feel synergy all around us, where it feels good.
This kind of love doesn't feel like it takes a lot of effort. We're carried along by the current. It pulls us forward and draws us in.
The mad love of tidal wave, the good feelings, the kind that promotes vulnerability and light, and the kind that feels like comfort.
This is the fresh love, brand new with tags, the best self forward, the honey to draw us in, a person who's our big spoon, the supervisor who sees us and accepts our gifts, the church that moves from a Sunday obligation to a Wednesday open mic night and an abundance-filled potluck, the kind of love, work, or people that you crave and need.
Kind of career where you want to be the leader, the kind of person that you want to marry, the kind of church where all of a sudden you're one of those churchy people, and you're not only drinking the Kool-Aid, but you're passing out fair trade recyclable cups of it to anyone and everyone who'll take a sip.
Far too often, this is the kind of love we only see in our rearview mirror, our glory days. Always just out of reach like a mirage. The place we strive to get back to, but never wrote down the coordinates while we were there. That phase of love is far too brief and not sustainable. If we're lucky, we can pause and take note and relish in it. If we're intentional and disciplined, we can squirrel away some of this bounty for leaner times.
We know if it's the kind of love or career or church we want to invest in, we have to wade in deeper.
Traverse deeper down the prickly path, getting stung by nettles and still embracing the parts that will engage us, promote growth, and hold a mirror up to us. In any long-term relationship, whether with a partner, a friend, a job, a church, we find ourselves periodically assessing the extent to which our needs are being met. Balancing the amount that we give and the amount that we take. Over and over, I've learned that the success of each relationship is dependent on the work I put into it. Most often, I find that the harder I work, the more attention I give to what I want the relationship to look like, the more closely it resembles just that. And sometimes, I find that regardless of the amount of positive energy I put in, the relationship seems to not grow and change. I think this is the nature of relationships. They go through developmental stages. Sometimes they change based on the actor's tenacity, and sometimes they change or stay the same based on factors that none of the actors can control or affect. Depending on our previous experiences, we are quick to throw in the towel, telling ourselves that when our needs are no longer being met, we are to move on, because life is too short and we deserve to be happy. Our past experiences may also dictate that we redouble our efforts, that we stick in and do the work to create the relationship that we want, no matter what it takes. And in this relationship tango, we are dependent on the other actor or actors in the relationship to be on the same trajectory, making similar decisions at the same time. This is a tall order. How can we increase the likelihood that we're in lockstep? We can do a really difficult thing. Have the conversation that needs to be had. What do I say when my partner is growing in a way that I love to see and I'm relegated to watching from the sidelines? How do I put into words my feelings about the new supervisor at work who can't see my gifts in a way that my previous supervisor did? Who do I speak with when our minister leaves the church and each time I enter the space that used to fill me, I leave feeling disjointed, disconnected, and struggling to get my feet? Who do I raise my voice to when all these things are happening at the same time? How long can each of us bear the weight of knowing that our needs are not being met? And that to stay in relationship, whether with our partner, job, church, means eventual depletion of our own resources. And that leaving means cutting the cord that's been a lifeline, tethering us to our blue boat home. Do we throw in the towel? Do we redouble our efforts? The lesson that I've learned over the last several years is this. The answer for me is not either or. This is the binary thinking that I was taught and creates a false story of the right choice, the wrong choice, and the dangerous story of no choice. The answer for me is both and. This provides me a spectrum of choices and fills my hands, which might be poised in the air in a perpetual shrug of helplessness, with fistfuls of possibilities.
To survive relationships with one another, both and is where it needs to be. We as humans are capable of looking at challenges and hurts and love and joys and holding both of those truths. Conflict and hurt is a part of loving one another. It is a part of our love dance. As humans with histories and baggage, we drag along the sins of our fathers and our mothers and the hurts of our peers and our society, and we bring it into spaces and into our relationships and into our careers, and we try to work it out. Sometimes with language and dialogue, and sometimes in ways that go direct to the bone, hurting each other, lying, name-calling, screaming, gnashing of teeth, punches pulled, the deconstruction of love rather than pushing its boundaries. Some conflict is needed to move forward. Some conflict can be fertilizer to go deeper, to be more truthful, to pull yourselves in, and some conflict can just be too much, so much that it recoils and kills it. It wraps around like a kudzu vine and chokes the life out of it. How do we hold the both and? Acknowledgement, apology, commitment to do better, then actually doing better. Conflict is not the only bitter part of this sweet, beautiful life. Some would argue it's changes and death that shadow this place. Some would say destruction and war, and some would say racism and social injustice. They all play in. When chalice circles were the heartbeat of this place, we strangers would gather and bare our souls and support one another without judgment and without conflict, simply with love and grace and room to grow, taking turns being vulnerable, taking turns centering each other, and that is when it is healthy and good and fertile and right. It's like that in our personal dances with friends and loved ones, the exchange, the centering of each other, the taking of time and care, the back and forth. That is when relationships can be elastic and flexible, allowing for movement and reciprocity. It's when that reciprocity is squashed that relationships become stagnant and one-sided. It can be constant work to find the balance. And sometimes we want to find the balance and work so hard to make it happen. And other times we simply want to let love slip out of our fingers like sand.
Sometimes things are so toxic that you have to let it go. There is no more rolling. You have to step away. There are so many resentments, misunderstandings, and conversations not had that for the sake of all involved, it's best to let it go. Sliding a letter of resignation across a table in human resources and walking out the door with your dignity intact might feel like liberation. Other times, after you've lived for some time without your person, you find that freedom and liberation can leave you floating aimlessly, and you commit to staying at the table to negotiate a win-win, no matter what it takes. You turn toward one another, face swollen from the ugly cries, and lean in. You decide together that the lessons learned and the growth earned can be put to best use in relationship with each other. You hold the hurts and the love and the trauma and the hope and the knowledge that it isn't going to be easy in your hands all at the same time, both and.
Sometimes you have to go in search of that bell that used to signal a time of sanctuary and have the conversation. Agree that not everyone likes the bell, and that's okay. And we can talk about it. We'll maybe form a committee. Create a consensus for the sake of tethering ourselves to each other. Sometimes we hold on to hope, we hold on to possibilities, we decide to wait and see. We have found as humans, as a couple, that we have navigated a long-term commitment, that sometimes waiting and seeing is okay. It's valuable. We know that this is not idle work, that you have to step in and help out, but in a guarded and cautious way. Hold on to the humans or ideas that resonate with you and let go of those things that don't. Take what we need and we leave the rest. So if you're tired of that same old story, baby, turn the pages. Lean into the uncomfortable and have the difficult conversations. And hold on to both and. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community,
or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again.